Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Lex Thomas and Rob Hefner are back on today's show as they demo for us Hyper-V virtualization capabilities found within Windows 8. Tune in as they preview for us some of the features found within the Windows 8 release preview as they show us how to enable and configure it. Lex, the mic is yours.
Hey guys, and welcome to Taste of Premiere. My name is Lex Thomas, and we are going to talk about Windows 8 virtualization today. I have my guest, Rob Hefner, and Rob is a veteran of the Taste of Premiere show. He's been here several times. What's up, Rob?
How's it going, Lex?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I'm excited to see what you've got for us. I think that this will be the first, one of the first TechNet podcasts that's Windows 8 based, so that's pretty cool, man.
That's very cool. I'm glad you're having me here to share my excitement about Windows 8.
Yep, absolutely. And again, this is the first in a series of Windows 8 topicked podcasts that we're going to do. We're going to do virtualization today. We're going to be doing something really cool called Windows to Go next time. And I'm going to be doing that from a special secret location. That'll be pretty cool. Hang on just a second. Oh, man, that Kool-Aid tastes horrible.
Really? What flavor is it?
Apple.
Ah.
All right, so what do you got, bud?
So I'm going to talk today about something that I'm really excited is in the client operating system, and that's Hyper-V in Windows 8. So if you've been playing with Hyper-V for the past few years, you know how cool it is, and we've all wanted X64 guests on our laptops for field guys. So finally, we're getting some X64 guests and some beefy Hyper-V virtualization to go along with it. So let's go ahead and do a quick walkthrough of how we enable Hyper-V on the Windows 8 release preview, and we'll go through some of the new features that you may have been asking for quite some time now. All right, so here we are at the new Metro UI. So we'll go ahead and go to our desktop. So one little neat tidbit here is that the Windows key is your friend. With the Windows key, we can go back and forth between the Metro UI and the desktop. So that's something that everyone should, should start practicing if you haven't already had a lot of work with the Windows key. So here we are in Windows 8. Let's go ahead and enable Hyper-V.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Let me interrupt for just a second. By the way, I want to point out that Windows 8 is also a great tablet OS. And if you have a tablet, if you happen to be running Windows 8 or one of the previews on Windows 8, we've got the consumer preview, and that was just recently replaced with the release preview. You should have a Windows button on the front of your tablet. And that Windows button on your tablet actually will do the same thing. It'll switch between the vintage desktop and the Metro UI.
Awesome. So what we'll go ahead and do, let's go ahead. I am running this on a laptop, so that is a little different than the experience you're going to get with a slate or a tablet. But what we'll do is we'll go ahead and swipe down to the bottom left corner of the screen where you see your start menu, and I'm going to right click. And so this actually brings up some quick links to Command Prompt, Disk Management, Device Manager, Event Viewer, all of the quick locations that you're going to need to get to. So simply right-clicking on the Start down at the bottom left-hand side of the screen. So for this case, I'm going to go into Programs and Features. And I've already got this enabled, but we'll go ahead and show you where. So over on the left, we'll go to Turn Windows Features On or Off. And there's our friend Hyper-V right here. So we have the Hyper-V Management Tools, which is going to give you your GUI management tools and the module for PowerShell, and then also the base Hyper-V platform. So once you enable that, we'll go through the setup for it, and this is going to require a reboot. We also have the same requirements that we do for Hyper-V on our server platform, which is going to be hardware-assisted virtualization and also data execution prevention in the BIOS. Before you get started with this, I'd highly suggest you get the latest BIOS for your system and make sure that those are enabled before you begin. So I already have it enabled, so let's go ahead and open up Hyper-V Manager. And I do already have some VMs created here. So as you can see, this is familiar with what you've been playing for since 2008 release. We just now have it on the client. So one of the first things that we'll show you here is how easy it is to bring in your virtual machines that were on Hyper-V on the server platform into the client platform. So previously, we had to actually export our virtual machines using Hyper-V Manager before we were able to import them. That caused some issues in the past where we had to have the networks created exactly the same, or we might encounter some issues when trying to import. So let's go ahead and walk through this now. We'll go to Import Virtual Machine. Go ahead and browse to where our VMs are stored. In my case, I'm going to go here to my virtual machines directory because this is where, by default, all of our configuration is going to be stored. Now, I've redirected mine to another drive, which is why I'm going to the G drive, which I'll explain that here in just a minute because there's some other configuration you're going to want to take care of. So let's go ahead and select this folder, and we're going to go ahead and parse and see what virtual machines I've got able to be imported. So let's go ahead and pick... I'm going to pick this one, and we'll see why here in just a minute. So on this page, we can either go ahead and register it in its current location, we can restore the virtual machine, or we can actually make a copy of the virtual machine. I like where my files are stored right now, so I'm going to go ahead and just register it where it is. So where are my virtual hard disks? You know what? Let's see. I think they're here. Oh, so the VHD isn't present. Normally, we would actually fail at this point to import the VM, but notice that we now have an option to either remove the storage, for example, if it was a secondary VHD that is no longer present, or if we want to go ahead and use an existing virtual hard disk. So we'll go ahead and browse, let's say, this is good. We'll just go ahead and pick this one for now, just to show you the example. So there we go. And now I have my virtual machine imported. So this is great, too, if you're moving between the consumer preview and the release preview and you didn't export your VMs before you ran the install. Just point it to the location of your configuration files, and we'll handle the rest. So I've got my VM set up now. The other piece of information that is really critical here is that antivirus real-time scanning can cause you issues really with any scenario, but when it comes to virtualization, it's explicitly important. So we need to enable some exclusions in order for this to work properly, just to prevent you some headache down the road. So let's see. In Windows 8, what we've actually done is instead of actually having a separate package for the Security Essentials, we've now included that in Windows Defender. So since that's what I have, I'm going to go ahead and open that. Let's make this bigger so you guys can see it. So I'm going to go over to the Settings tab and then look at my exclusions here. So for excluded files and locations, we'll want to go ahead and add the following locations, which is your default location for storing virtual machine configuration, which is at C, Program Data, Microsoft, Windows, Hyper-V, Virtual Machines. I know that's a lot. Now that's a hidden folder. So you will need to enable hidden files and folders before we go this route. But let's go ahead and get through this. Scroll down. So you could actually go ahead and just exclude the entire folder at the Hyper-V level. That's just fine. So let's go ahead and add that. So I also have my custom location where I'm storing my VMs on an external drive. VMs folder, and then add. So that takes care of some of the configuration we need to do. We also want to go ahead and do process exclusions if those are available. In this case, there's two processes that we're going to want to make sure we exclude, and they're both in the Windows System 32 directory. So that first is going to be VMMS for Virtual Machine Management Service.exe. So it's important that we set up process exclusions as well. Windows Defender supports it. If your current antivirus solution supports it, it's highly recommended that you configure these. So the two processes that we want to exclude are VMMS.exe, which is the Virtual Machine Management Service. That's the service that's responsible for presenting the WMI provider for Hyper-V, as well as interacting with Hyper-V Manager for you to manage your VMs. The other process you'll want to exclude is the worker process for the virtual machine. So this is your guts of the virtual machine that you see represented in user mode in your parent partition. That is vmwp.exe is seen right here. So I've got those added to my exclusions. We'll go ahead and save changes. And as long as you don't make any other changes to where you're storing your VMs, these exclusions will work for you. Just make sure that you update these as you make any changes. So the next thing I want to talk about are your virtual switches. So this is how we actually present network resources into a virtual machine. So previously we've had some challenges with using wireless networks. With if you're a field engineer, you have a laptop. Wireless is typically how you connect. When you need external access for a VM, this can cause some problems. So what have we done with Windows 8? We now allow you to actually create a virtual network against your wireless adapter. Now how do we do this? So we actually go in, I'm going to go ahead and go into Network Control Panel so you can see this. We actually create a bridge, a network bridge, so that we can actually utilize that Wi-Fi adapter. Previously you could do this if you did it manually, but now we take care of that for you. Just one more reason we're looking out for our field guys and making sure they have the resources that they need. So now I have external access with my virtual machines and I can move on with my lab work and get my customers taken care of.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's freaking awesome, actually. So if I've got a tablet, I can carry a tablet around and have essentially a VM running on a tablet using my wireless network at the same time that the native tablet install of the OS is running.
Absolutely. It's extremely handy. Typically, I always kept my VMs to an internal network, but then patching becomes an issue. We have to actually create VHDs in the parent partition, attach them to get our packages in. This just makes it so much easier for us now.
Yeah, that's killer. That's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. I still can't get that taste of the Kool-Aid out of my mouth, though.
Oh, maybe you should try something with a little more flavor.
Yeah, like Windows 8, that would probably help.
I think that would definitely quench your thirst.
Yeah.
So the last thing I want to talk about is power management. So when we're talking about remote machines running virtual machines, we've got a hypervisor that's sitting on top of our hardware layer, which to date really hasn't had any kind of power management capabilities. Now we do have power management capabilities. So if you really wanted to go ahead and close that laptop lid and move on to another room, your VMs will actually follow their default shutdown policy, which if you want to see what that is, by default it's actually going to be to save the state of the virtual machine, but there may not be cases where you want to do that. For example, a domain controller or a SQL server. So if you go into the settings of the VM, just right-click on the VM and go to settings. Down at the bottom here under management, you have automatic stop action, which in my case, I've actually got this one set to shut down. But you could turn off the virtual machine if you wanted to. Not really recommended because that literally is pulling the power on the VM. Or you can save the state of the virtual machine. So we'll save the contents of memory down to disk and then restore from that save state whenever you power it back on. You can also configure the automatic start action here, too. So when the virtual machine management service starts, what do we want our VMs to do? Automatically start. If it was running, do nothing, or always start this virtual machine automatically. We can also go in and configure a startup delay, too, if you're low on resources and have some high-intensive VMs that are all trying to start up at once. Some really helpful tools that are now available finally in the client operating system.
That's awesome, man. So do me a favor. What I want to see is I want to see a VM running in a client OS. I want to see you pull up a VM.
All right. So let's see. Let's pick this one here. It's running. So let's go ahead and right-click on it and connect. It's going to bring up our virtual machine connection client here. So this is a 2008 R2 Enterprise Domain Controller, which is a 64-bit machine. So here we go. Logging in.
Dude.
That's ugly.
Dude, that's awesome.
So here we go. So one thing that we want to make sure that also carries over to the client-based version is we do still have to install integration services in our virtual machines so that we get cool stuff like mouse integration and SCSI adapter support so we can do hot add of virtual hard disks. So in order to do that, you'll just want to go into the action menu. Insert your integration services setup disk, which will automatically mount an ISO for you. There we go. So now I can go in and kick off this setup, which if you've had these running on Hyper-V before, we will detect that the integration services were there, as in this case. I've already got the current version. So it's, but you will be prompted to upgrade if you had a previous version installed. But definitely install these on any supported operating system that you're going to run on Windows 8 Hyper-V.
Rob, thank you so much for doing that for us and for showing us Windows 8 virtualization. That's awesome. We really appreciate you coming back and doing that for us this time. And to everybody out there, if you have any questions, please feel free to email us at topp@microsoft.com. That's topp@microsoft.com. Again, thanks to everyone. And that's your Taste of Premiere.